we got Melachim Aleph, Perek Beis, Pasukas. We're in the midst of David Melech telling Shlomo Melech what to do. Meaning, Imcha Shim Ben Gera. Listen, Shim Ben Gera is yours. And really, the truth is, Shim Ben Gera was Shlomo Melech's Rebbe. So he told him, I don't want you to have to kill your Rabbi Benyamin. He's the Benyamin. Rabbi Bachurim from the city of Bachurim. Who killed any Kolo Nimretzes? Listen, he cursed me very quickly. Remember, Nimretzes stood for Noif. This is what Shimmy Ben Gera said to David Melech. You are an adulterer. Moabi, you are a Moabite. Rotzeach, you're a murderer of Uri Ben, Uriah Chiti, thank you. So we're an oppressor of people and a toa, a vagabond, right? A messed up person. That's what he told him.
Abomination.
He cursed me that way. But Yom Lechti Machanoim, when I went to Machanoim running away from Abshalom, took advantage of the situation. We crossed the Yarden. He met me. He went down to meet me at the Yarden River. And I swore to him by God, saying, I will not kill you by the sword. I swore to him because he did tshuva afterward. He came back to me after. That's when he met him by the Yarden River when he was crossing over back after Abshalom was killed. And David Melech swore to Shimi, I will not kill you. He says, it's in your hands. You deal with him. He's your Rebbe. He did remain loyal to me afterward. I just want you to know that he's up there. Okay? It's funny because when Shlomo Melech was trying to kill him, Shimon ben Gera said, that's not what Nimretzes meant. Nimretzes meant, instead of all that, it meant you're a Navi, you're a Mora, a guide, you're a rabbi, you're a tzaddik, and you're a Tamim. That's what I meant. Sure you did, Shimi. That's all. You can't let him off without anything. He is talking about, but you are a smart man. You will know what to do with him. You will bring down his old age, right? His blood to the grave. In other words, you will allow him to live a little bit, but know that he is eventually going to die. Right? He did tell him, listen, you know that the reason why I kept him alive is because I knew that a future child of his was going to give birth to Mordechai, and therefore I kept him alive in order to have Mordechai. That kid is born already. Kill him. He's done, okay? You don't have to worry about that whatsoever. Meet over here, right? David did not use the same words of Shimi as he said by Yoav. Yoav had violated peace, so the punishment that he was going to get was he was going to be deprived of peace. Shim ben Gera only did it at a time of war, and that was a little bit different. It was a rebel at that time. Okay, but Yishkav David Melech, so you come over here, David. So David Melech lied down with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David Melech. Notice that it did not say the word mace. It is very few times throughout the Torah where it says the word, that he didn't die. Yaakov, for example, right? It does say that line over there. It is strange, right? But nonetheless, there is a famous medrash that we know in Gemara Shabbos that mentions that on the day of his death was supposed to be on Shavuos. He did not know when he was going to die. I did not know what day he was going to die. He asked for that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no to him, the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Lamed. In the end of the day, he said, fine, but let me basically know. So David Melech was told that he was going to die on the day of his birthday and he was going to die on Shabbos. Well, there was only one time where Shavuos, which was his birthday, fell out on Shabbos, and that was in his 71st year, after his 70th year altogether, after he was 70, right? So he wasn't allowed to know when he was going to die, but he knew it was going to be on that day. On that day, he decided to study Torah the entire day long because he knew that the Malachim Avos could not take him while he was studying Torah. What did the Malachim Avos do? He made a noise out in the garden. David Melech went out to go see what was going on in the garden, but continued to learn the entire time. When he stepped down on one of the steps was lowered from underneath him. In other words, he slipped a little bit on the step. And when he slipped and fell down, he almost for a second, he stopped learning. And then all of a sudden, that's when the Malachim was able to take his soul. Why?
Because the Malachim was the stairway from him that's killing him.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make sense.
I didn't know. Like, all is fair in love and war. Grama, whatever it is, you know how it is. But that's that. Let's get out. By the way, there are two other people that it mentions that died by that way. Rabba Bar Nachmani and Rav Chisos, and the Malachim had to trick them. No, that in which the Malachim had to trick them into stopping the learn so that he could kill them. Rabba Bar Nachmani and Rav Chisos.
What's the Gvia?
Gvia is perspiring. What's the word? Not perspiring. No. What's the word for death? With a P.
Expiring?
Expiring. Yeah, thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word. Yeah, perspiring. But expiring, that's what it means. It means expiration. At the days that King David HaMelech was king over Bnei Yisrael was 40 years. And Hebron is king for 7 years, and Yerushalayim is king for 33 years. Now, actually, he was king in Hebron for 7.5 years. We're not counting a half year because possibly he had Saras for a little bit or whatever it is. On the day that David HaMelech died, the moon did not shine, the light of the Torah was diminished, and arguments increased. His body did not deteriorate after he died. That's Gemar Baba Basra Tez dying. The worms were not able to eat him. He never tasted death during his lifetime because he never really slept. He used to doze off a little bit like a horse, but that's about it. He had a secret treasure room, right, that was by his tomb that the only person who would be able to know about it were the king. kings. So therefore, nobody was able to use it unless they were using it for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Shlomo HaMelech used some of it, but he didn't use all of it. And a lot of it was left by where David HaMelech is. So in the future, when we have the third Beis HaMikdash, it would eventually be rebuilt with the riches of David HaMelech itself. There's a long thing about people that try to go find inside there, that go inside the kever of David HaMelech. The Arabs were tried going in there, they die every time. There's a lot of crazy stories about that altogether. There's a machlokes. What ended up happening, Shlomo HaMelech found out that his father was dead, and immediately had two shilohs. One shiloh was, what do I do about David HaMelech's body, who had died in the garden in the sun? Am I allowed to take it out of the sun? Remember, Shavuos is in May. Think of May or June in Eretz Yisrael. It's boiling hot outside. Bodies rot very quickly, but it's a muktzah body. What are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do when he died in the sun, right outside? That was one. And the second question was, the dogs of my father's house are hungry. What are they allowed to eat? There's a lot of chassidish atayrawad. Those two questions came together at the same time. The pashup shot is, the dogs are out there and they're hungry. What do I do about David HaMelech's bodies? So they said that the chachamim answered him, cut up carcasses, like carcasses that are already had, throw them out to the dogs to make sure that they are, you know, they're fed. And then the way to be able to take care of the body is by putting curtains, by putting up chairs right next to the body, and then putting a curtain on top of the chairs if you need it, and then taking away the chairs so that it covers up the body itself. And then by putting something on the body, like a loaf of bread or even a child, which is a little bit sick for everybody involved, then you're going to be able to pick up the body of David HaMelech. That's the halacha of how you can carry a dead body outside of the sun if you need to, by covering it up with a sheet, by putting up the chairs and whatever it is, and then by putting something on top of it that you need, and then taking it out.
And then you have to use the bread.
I'm sorry? The bread has to be usable. I don't think anybody would actually. Okay, either way, maybe it's not my personal.
No, not only would the kind of muktamachas mias mean that they would be able to move the body?
Muktamachas mias only applies once it's mias. I don't know if it applies to a body. It probably, this would be muktamachas chasron kiss in a way, but I don't even know what kind of muktamachas. Maybe it's muktamachas gufa. I don't know what a dead body is considered, to be honest with you, but I do not think it's mias. Ushlomo and Patagid Beis, guys.
That's a category.
Yeah, it's not, though. Muktamachas mias? I've never heard of it. Maybe it is, and I just don't remember.
How for like something like for the covet of the king or no?
I don't know Muktzah well enough, and I don't know Hilchos Shabbos well enough. I'm sorry?
Covet of the king or something.
Covet of the king,
what it represents.
It's not. Nonetheless, it shouldn't be. But anyway, Shlomo Yashav Kisei David Avi Vatiko Malchusam Oiv. Shlomo sat on the Kisei, on the throne of David Avi's father. His kingdom was firmly established. I mean, now he had gathered everything. He put everything together. He literally was an extremely rich king, and he spared all the suffering and the struggles that David Melech went through. Now this was dumb. Adoniah, who still wanted the kingdom, as we all know, the son of Chagis, came to Bathsheba, Aim Shalom, the mother of Shalom, Tomer, Shalom Boecha, the Yomer Shalom. Is everything peace by you? Is everything going well with your son? He said, yeah. And she said, yeah, it's in peace. So Batomer, Shalom Boecha, are you coming in peace? I'm sorry. She said to Adoniah, are you coming in peace or are you coming to kill me? To which said, no, I'm coming in peace. I have a word to speak with you. Batomer, the bear, she said, speak. Know that I wanted the kingdom, right? Well, I stumble call Yisrael Pnei Limloch, and you know that all Pnei Yisrael put their faces upon me to be king. People assumed that I was going to be king. But Tizom Meluka Vatilachi came Hashem Oisolo. Listen, the kingdom was turned around; it was given over to my brother because obviously it's from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Sort of like, you know, Siat Dishmaya went with him. I just kind of think that I should have been king. Not the Sheilu Achas Anu Kishol Meitzal. I have one question from you. Al Tashivi is Panai. Please don't turn away my face. Or tell me I love that bear. Speak. I'm not going to promise you anything because I don't know what you're going to ask me. Pasuk Yudzayin Vatoyomer. And he said, Imina the Shlomo Melech, go tell the Shlomo the king. Now that is interesting that he did say Shlomo Melech, not just Shlomo. Ki lo yashiv is panayich. Right? That I know he's not going to turn you down. Allow me to marry Avishag Hashanamis as a wife. She said, good, I'll speak about you to the king. Now, she didn't know the halacha. The halacha is that the concubine of a king can only be married by another king. And a concubine of a king, by the way, can still be married by his son. Mufutas Aviv, a woman that was seduced and slept with by a father, can still be slept with by the child. The futas of this. That still can't be. So in theory, Avishag Shnamis, which is even better, because David Melch never even slept with her. She wasn't even a concubine. For sure could be slept with, but only by a king. Wow. Now, Adoniyah Paskin, that she's not even a Pelegish. Since she's not even a Pelegish, even a Stam human being is allowed allowed to marry her and is allowed to take her as a wife, and therefore it's mutter for me to marry Avishai because now I understand why Shlomo Melech wouldn't want to. It's his father's, etc. So I understand that. But nonetheless, I want to marry Avishai, so please let me have Avishai. Now the fact is, this was all a ruse. Adonio realized and knew that the halacha is that even though she wasn't a Pelegish to David HaMelech, she was designated to be a Pelegish to David HaMelech, which meant that the only person who could marry her was a king. That was the halacha. And Adonio knew that. But he wanted Klal Yisrael to think that he was just made king. His new plan was if he marries Avishag, he would tell everybody, see, the only person who can marry her is a king. So either he would discredit Shlomo by saying, see, Shlomo will allow me to marry a king's, you know, a king's legacy. So you see how much of a fool he is, therefore you deserve another king. Or, look, I married a king's wife, I married a princess, so therefore it goes. What?
Wouldn't he be like kind of afraid of Shlomo's
soul? Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, at the end. That's exactly what.
Why didn't Shlomo didn't know about him?
Not that Shlomo Melech didn't know about him. Remember, he's only 12 at the time. Adonio did not know how wise he was. And, later, not at 12. He didn't know how wise he was, and he figured he'll go to Bathsheba. When Bathsheba agreed with him, he felt like, I have something to go with. Maybe Bathsheba should have said to her, no, that's not the halacha. When Bathsheba agreed with it, he said, I've got something here. Bathsheba will be able to convince him. Bathsheba, Bathsheba, Melech Shlomo, with David Adonio to speak to him about it. Vayakam Melech Lekrosa, king got up to greet her. And that's the halacha. You get up in front of your mother, even when you're the king. Even when you're the king, you stand up for Kibbutz Avim. You don't stand up for them the entire time, but you do a little bit like that. Vayishtakulani, bow down to her. Vayishal Kiso, and he sat on his throne. Vayisam Kiso Lehim Amelech Vatesh Lemino. He also had a throne for the mother of the king, and she sat to his right. Chazal tell us this was not for his mother. This is for Rus. Rus sat next to the king Shlomo. Rus was still alive. The great grandmother of Shlomo Melech, she was still alive, and she sat, and that was the aim. Melech that's referred to over here, the word Shalema, Shalom, Shlomo, etc. It's like that. Rus was not that old. I mean, she was about 100, but she would have been really old. Could have been a little bit older, but she was older. But this was Rus altogether. Yeah.
Didn't we see the same thing by
she would have been a little more than 140 probably, yeah.
There, Ezra and Nehemiah, I can't remember when they asked permission from the king and he's sitting next to his mother, which I think
meant it probably is the same thing. Probably is the same thing. It's probably based on the same pasuk over here. I've got one little question for you. Please don't turn me away. Ask my mother, I will not turn you away. Give to Adoniyahu, your brother, as a wife. Now, he had no idea, right? Shlomo Melech said, I'm not going to turn you away. He didn't think whatsoever. She made it as, Achicha, he's your brother. Come on. He had a big disappointment today. You know, he didn't think that you were going to become king. He really thought, I'll give him a wife. The king Shlomo did not. He saw what Adoniyahu was asking. He said to his mother, Shali lo is a malucha. Why are you asking for Abisha Gushnamis? You might as well ask for the entire kingdom to give over to him. He is my older brother. You might as well give it to him and to Abyasar the Kohen Gadol and to Yoav and Tzruya. Why don't you get them all together and bring them all back together? Because that's basically what you're asking. Shlomo immediately realized what the whole ruse was and how it was there and said, you didn't realize what he was asking you. But he didn't want to contradict his mother directly. So he didn't say it in a way of no. He didn't want to contradict her. So what he said was, don't you realize what he's trying to do? Mom, you don't realize what he's saying over here? If that's what you want, don't play games. Say it straight out that you want somebody else to be there. That's the support that he has. Shlomo Melech swore to God saying, it must be by the price of his own life that Adonijah has said this thing. Now, God, by the life of God that has prepared me and sat me down in the throne of David my father, I shall also leave by his kasher diber, and he made me a house of kingship, which he has spoken. Then Adonijah is going to have to die today. Again, it's not that he did anything that was so bad. All he did was ask for Avishai. He did not make an open rebellion. He didn't fight. He didn't ask the king directly. He asked indirectly for it. Nonetheless, Shlomo Melech said, there's a problem here. There's an implicit problem that Adonijah has. He wants the kingship and will stop at nothing to get it.
First move as king is to kill his brother, essentially.
Yeah.
First order is king.
Yeah. No. Ain't economic.
First.
Yeah. it is the first person who wanted to become king instead of him, who rebelled even before he became king. And he didn't want this to happen, but he said he never really gave up his aspirations of being king. Such a person is not going to get any better. It's going to get worse and worse as time goes on. It's only going to get worse. That we can't get rid of. And number two, if I wait, it's going to cause a civil war. Adoniyahu is going to try to get other people on his side. And eventually there will be a war. People are going to be on Adoniyahu's side. He was right. There were people that wanted him in the first place. Yoav is on his side. I'm going to go up against Yoav. There is going to be a civil war. I have to kill him now before I spread blood throughout Klal Yisrael. That's why he was able to master this up. The king Shlomo sent it by the hand of Yoav ben Yoyada. He killed him and he died. Now the kasha is, Yoav ben Yoyada was a Kohen. How was he able to kill Adoniyahu? He was considered, he would have been Tamei. So some say he dealt him a mortal wound and then left before he died, which is awesome. Number two, he was permitted to defile himself, fulfill the command of the king, and then use the actions of the Paraduma to be able to come Tahor again. He had no choice. The king tells him to do it. The king tells him to do it. Well, the Yashra Kohen.
Then the Kohen still had to, the king still had to, Kohen still had to be careful of this.
100%. Tuma? Yeah.
Tuma can fix it, I don't know.
No, you still can't become Tamei. Remember, a Kohen is an assay that he has to keep himself Tamei, and he's not allowed to go inside a room that has Tuma inside it. So that's already you're over on something by doing so, but the other cannot do it without the command of the king.
Yeah, but a person doesn't generally die instantaneously. I mean, even if you...
That's the point. That's the point. Yeah. He was able to get out before that happened.
Stabbed in the heart and walk away. He's got
exactly.
To take 15 seconds
that's that.
To die.
Ulev Yatsar Kohen Omar HaMelech Anasos Lech to Avyatsar the Kohen Gadol, remember? So he told them, he said, I want you to go to Anasos. I'm not going to kill you, he said to Avyatsar, because you're a Kohen Gadol. Right? But nonetheless, I want you to go away. Al Sadecha, go to your field, because you deserve to die. But I'm not going to kill you today, because you carried the Aron of Hashem, God, with Nei David Avi, in front of David, my father. You also were afflicted with everything my father had. You were with my dad wherever he went, and I understand that. So therefore, the only thing you did was at the end of your life, you went with Adoniyahu. That's the only thing you did. Okay, so therefore I'm not going to kill you. Shlomo kicked him out from being a Kohen to Hashem to fill the word of God, Asher Dibral Beis Eli B'Shiloh, which was the word of God that God spoke to Eli in Shiloh, that Eli's children eventually would stop being Kohanim Gedolim. Avyasser was the last Kohen Gadol from Eli's house. He was the last one altogether. There's a kasha, because later on we might see Avyasser again, but it seems that he was kicked out forever. By the way, at the same time, Avyasser also lost his power of Nevuah. He also lost his ability to use the Urim and Tumim, and he no longer was there. What's up?
Does a human being have to be going of his status like that?
Good question. If he was the Kohen Gadol, then he probably sought to work on Yom Kippur. But he was permitted to stop him from being in the Beis HaMikdash constantly, which means send him somewhere else so he's not there. He'd be called a Kohen Gadol Nidfeh, which is okay, but he still has to serve in Yom Kippur. That's the only difference. He would have to do some of the Avodah Yom Kippur along with the real Kohen Gadol itself. He'd still have to do that. But that's what it means. Go to Anasos so you have no chiyuv to come to Yerushalayim. But on Yom Kippur, you'll come back. And that's maybe what it means when it says that he came back. What's up?
Kohen Gadol is chosen how again?
Kohen Gadol is chosen by the Kohanim. The Kohanim choose the next greatest person out there. It does not go by father to son to father to son. It goes by the next greatest person out there. Pasukov cuts, guys. There's more by Yoav Kiyov, Natak Re'adunia. The news came to Yoav. Yoav had gone after Adoniyahu, Achrei Avshalom, but he hadn't gone after Avshalom, so he had that in his stead. But Yoav ran to the Ol of Hashem, and he grabbed onto the corners of the Mizbeach, thinking that that would protect him. He was wrong for four different reasons. The reason why he was wrong is because it only says that you're saved if you're on top of the Mizbeach. It also only protects a Kohen in the midst of an Avodah. It also only protects somebody who killed accidentally while Yoav killed on purpose. Also, he ran to the wrong Mizbeach. He ran to the one at Shiloh when he really should have run to the one that was in Givon, which was the same Mishkan. The others say that Yoav's mistake was he was seeking the protection of a temporary Mizbeach, not the Mizbeach that would be used in the future based on Mikdash. Those are the five mistakes that he made over here.
Can't be used against them.
What?
that last one can't be used.
No, the real Mizbeach was in the Mishkan, somewhere else. He just should have known that. Yugel Melech Shlomo Kinas Yoav Belo Hashem. Shlomo Melech was told that Yoav had run to the all of Hashem. I mean, it's on Mizbeach, and he's by Mizbeach, but Yishav Shlomo Ben Yoav Ben Yoav Ben Yoav Ben Yoav Ben So Shlomo sent Ben Yoav Ben Yoav, again, Ben Yoav Ben Yoav, the assassin, the Kohen assassin. And he was also the Avdez. And he said to him, go kill him. Okay, go kill him. Okay, so that's that. Once he heard about the exile of Yasser, and he also heard about the death of Adonio, he realized he doesn't know where Shlomo Melech is going with this. He wants to protect himself. Maybe he could get Shlomo Melech to think maybe you should exile him as well. That's what he's hoping for. But the fact is, there was no question that Yoav had to die. Yoav was by far the most dangerous man in the kingdom. Yoav was by far the most influential man in the kingdom. And Yoav was already chayav misa for what had happened. But Yoav basically knew what was going to happen. And he had already declared himself as Shlomo Melech's enemy by going against him with Adonio, and he was the one who supported him the entire time. This is what the king says, say, get out of here. In other words, Ben Yoav Ben Yoav is giving him a chance. He's saying, listen, if you exile yourself right now, or if you come with me and go to Shlomo Melech, maybe I could convince him to keep you alive. But you have to do this. But Yomer Lo, Kipo Amus, said Yoav, no, I'm going to die here. I don't want to die anywhere else. So Ben Yoav told the king, saying, this is what Yoav said, and this is what he told him. Now, it's possible that Yoav was doing this out of worry for his money. He knew that if you have a Mises Bezdin, Bezdin kills you, your inheritors get your money. But if you're killed by the king, then the king gets your money. So he said, I'd rather be killed by Bezdin, which was Ben Yoav, than be killed by the king Shlomo Melech, which means my money will be owned by the king. That I'd rather. So Ben Yoav sent back and said, he'd rather die here than in front of you, to which Shlomo Melech said, I don't need his money. Kill him. Kill him right there. That's what's going to be over here. That's the idea behind it. There was a Bezdin that was convened in front of Yoav, in which they asked him, so why did you kill Avnan? He said, because he killed my brother Asoil. Right? To which he said, well, Avner had to do it. It was self-defense. He said, okay, but he didn't have to kill him. He could have just hit him in the leg. Right? So he said, he couldn't aim. He said, well, he aimed to the fifth rib. You better believe he could have aimed for the leg. Why didn't he go for Asoil's leg? So his complaint. I said, okay, fine. Forget about Asoil. Forget about Avner. What about Amasa? Why did he kill Amasa? He went against the king. The king told him to come in 3 days, and he didn't come in 3 days. So they said, he didn't because of Torah learning. You should have known that, and therefore, you disobeyed the king, and that was that.
He was also instructed not to kill him specifically, right?
He was instructed not to kill Avshalom. That was another issue altogether. Then Pasuk Lamed Aleph Gaz, Yom Melech Asah, Asik Asher Diber, do as he said. Pagabo, hit him there, Ukvarzo, and then bury him, Asirosu, Demeichino, Asher Shabbat, Yom Me'alayim, Me'albezavi. Take away the blood of nothingness that you have spilled from me and from the house of my fathers. Everybody sees we weren't responsible for the death of Avner, Amasa, Avshalom, and everybody else. We didn't do that. God put the blood back in his head. That he had killed two great tzaddikim, the Tovim men, they were greater than him. Because when they were in a situation where they could have killed somebody that was innocent, they didn't kill. Avner could have killed, and Amasa both could have killed in different situations. Avner was told to kill the city of Nov Yerakwanim, and so was Amasa. And they both refused. And who killed them instead? Doeg. Shaul told Doeg to do it instead. They didn't do it. So therefore you saw that they were greater than Yoav, who when told to kill Uriah Chiti, immediately did it, even though he knew Uriah was innocent. Uriah should not have done, he shouldn't have done that.
He should have said no to the king?
If that's what they did to Shaul. That's what they did to Shaul.
Wouldn't the double killed Yoav then?
What? Nonetheless, if you know the person's innocent, they are getting the third. He killed him by the sword.
He didn't kill Uriah, though. He put him in harm's way.
Yeah.
It's different. He
allowed him to die. But all these other
people, he didn't want to.
Nonetheless, but he did. Wait, so then he did it. Unlike Amasa and Avner.
Isn't there more of Amasa because he didn't do it?
Or? Is that who? Amasa and Avner?
Yeah.
It wasn't considered more of Amasa because they knew they were innocent. No, Virakwan. It was not considered more of Amasa.
Yeah, so there's still. Hashem is still.
So the difference is, Yoav was willing to listen to something that David Amalek told him that he knew was wrong and allowed it to do it so that it would count as a sin for David. Avner and Amasa did not want it to be a sin
different
for Shaul, so they told Shaul no.
A whole different league
of calculating that. Yeah, no, it's completely different, right? Yehuda. My father David had nothing to do with the death of Avner ben Ner nor Amasa. The Shavu the man Barosh Yoav, all their blood goes on the head of Yoav, Barosh Zaro, and the head of his children forever. Lo Olam. Well, the David David, his children, and his house and his throne should be given peace from then on and then on, and that's that. Now, Yoav had a good line. David Melech already cursed me for that, he said. I got five curses, and my kids were going to be Zavim, they were going to be Mitzoras, they were going to have etc., etc., and stuff like that. So that should go on you instead. If you're going to kill me, then you take the curse instead. Shlomo Melech said, no, you deserve both. You are more than David Melech, therefore you deserve those five, the curses. You are more than me, so therefore you deserve death. Nonetheless, those five curses did happen to Shlomo Melech, because Yoav said it as a curse accidentally, and it did happen to Shlomo Melech's kid. Rechabam became a Zav, Uziah became a Metzora, Asa got gout, Yoshia died by the Cherez, and Yoyachin was taken prisoner and was dependent on him and became very, very poor toward the end of his life. That was that.
Isn't a Zav like STDs?
No, different type. I mean, gonorrhea in a way.
Yeah.
It's different. It's not exactly the same. Lamedalit, Bayal ben Yoav, Yoav ben Yitkov, Yoav ben Yiseu, and Yoav ben Yoav went up to the Mizbeach and hit him, and he died by Yikaver ben Beis Ovamibor, and he buried him in his house in the desert. Did Yoav live in the desert? No. Okay. He either had a special house in the desert where his shepherds would stay when they were out with the sheep, or it was on the edge of the desert, right, and he was buried right there, right by his house, or it was a special house that he had built there to provide food and lodging for travelers, and it was an act of tzedakah, or it was an allegory that the Bnei Yisrael were like a desert now, they didn't have enough Torah because Yoav was dead, or it was telling you Yoav's property, Yoav's piety, that his house was free of stolen property of and impropriety, and that's why it was called the Midbar itself. Pretty good, right? Yoav ben Yehuda was put on the army instead of Yoav. That Tzedakah Kohen Asamel Tzedakah Yasser Tzedakah Kohen was put in charge instead. And he called over to Shimi. Build for yourself a house in Yerushalayim. Yashav Tasham, live here. Below take to Misham Anavahana, and don't go anywhere else. Reason why? I can keep my eye on you. Number two, as a kapara, you walked with David and Melech outside. I want you to not walk outside the city ever again. He said, if you leave, you pass over Nachal Kidron. You should know that you will surely die because that's an act of rebellion. Because I will think that the reason why you're leaving is in order to rebel against me with other people. Okay? Your blood is on your own head. So that's good. I like that instead of everything else that happened. That's what I'll do. Yerushalayim was there for many, many days. Yeshiva there, a base medrash there. He brought in Talmidim. Everything's good. At the end of 3 years, two of them of Shimi ran to Achish ben Macha, Melech Gath, to the king of Gath. Shimi was told that your servants ran away to Gath. Shimi got up, he saddled his donkey. He went to Gath to Achish to search for his avodim. He brought his avodim back from Gath. Now, what was he thinking? Number one, he could have been totally mistaken. Maybe Shlomel, he thought that Shlomel meant don't leave permanently, but you could leave temporarily. It's possible that is what he thought. Number two, maybe after a while, he took it less seriously. I mean, come on, it's not that big of a deal if I leave. But you got the Shlomo Kiel Hashem, Yerushalayim Gas, but Yashov. He was told that he left, and he came back. He called to him, and he said, I made you swear, and I testified against you, saying, if you leave, you're going to surely die. You said, you like that, and you're all good with that. Why didn't you listen to the word of God that we just said? I gave you an oath, you didn't listen to it. The king said to Shimi, you know what you did in your heart. Listen, I don't know what you did. So David HaMelech, if you really meant it, if you didn't mean it, I don't know. But you know what you did in your heart. Then the evil that God, that you did, God is putting back in your heart. And that's why you made such a mistake. You were so dumb. You left Yerushalayim. God made you do it so that you would die. And he said about himself, may the king Shlomo Melech be blessed. May my throne last forever and ever. And that's the idea behind it. He didn't mention originally to Shimi what he had done to his father, but now I see that the sin got brought back. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to die, and for that you will die. It says, "Vayitzav HaMelech has been a Yobin Yod v'yitzav yikabo." Who needs command? Yod HaKohen came out and he killed him again. And then the kingdom was secure in the hands of Shlomo Melech. Everything was all good. Perek Gimel, guys. Vayitzchatin Shlomo's Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Shlomo was Mechutin. He ended up becoming married, the daughter of Paro, the king of Egypt. He took the daughter of Paro, and he brought her to the city of David. Before he had finished building his house, the base of Mikdash, that's Chomes Yerushalayim Saviv, and all the walls of Yerushalayim around. Okay. The reason why Shlomo Melech did this is because, number one, he wanted to secure peace. The way to secure peace back then was to marry different princesses from all around and having them around inside your palace. However, there's no question that he was Megayer her. The Rambam says that straight out in Hilchos, I forgot where it is, in Hilchos something or other.
Where does he prosecute it from? How does he, like,
how does he know? He says an unbelievable svara. He says, Shimshon, it's not possible that Shimshon, a shofet in Klal Yisrael, could have possibly married a girl who was not Jewish. And so to Shlomo Melech, how is it possible that he possibly married Goyim from other nations when he knew that's in a barrier? It's not possible that Beis Din would have allowed him to. It's not possible. Now, granted, Shimi ben Gera, his Rebbe, had already died. Chazal say that he never would have done this had Shimi ben Gera was alive. But nonetheless, she was a Gioris. There's no question it was a Gioris. It's the Rambam. Give me a second. It's in Hilchos. It's something about Isuri Bia. Hilchos Isuri Bia HaParakalos. Okay, that's right over there. Not only that, by the way, there's something wrong. We all know that Egyptians take three generations to join Klal Yisrael. It's the third generation Egyptian that can join Klal Yisrael as a Ger, not first or second generation. So how in the world is Shlomo Melech allowed to do that? So there's a bunch of answers. Number one, he thought maybe that it didn't apply to women. That it only applied to men. By Moabim and Ammonium, it only applied to men and not women. So maybe he thought it didn't apply to women, it only applied to men. But that's very strange. The Gemara says that cannot be. Because the reason why Moab and Ammon is because Moab and Ammon wouldn't come out to Klal Yisrael, and they wouldn't serve them bread, but that's only the men. The women didn't do that, so therefore they can join Klal Yisrael. Mitzrayim was the men and the women that afflicted the Jews. And therefore, there's no question that women should be punished as well. Okay, another answer as to how it was okay is they thought that it only applied to the three generations following Shmos, following when they left Egypt. By this time, it was mutter to marry a Mitzri Rishon. But the fact is, the Gemara does not say that way. The Gemara says that it was Minyamin Ger Mitzri. Minyamin Ger Mitzri lived in the times of Rabbi Akiva and said that although I can't marry into Klal Yisrael, but my grandson will be able to, because my grandson will be a Ger a Mitzri Shlishi. So we see that was still there. Number three, it's possible that there's no discrimination allowed after the third generation, but the first two generations could marry a Jew if the Jew wants to marry them. You can't force a Jew into marrying them. However, third generation, you can force a Jew into marry them. Others say it was a chet. It was just a chet. He's criticized because he did end up marrying a non-Jewish woman.
What about...
That's another way of looking at it, yeah.
The irony of Moshe being saved by Bas Paro and Shlomo marrying...
Bas Paro itself, it's a long time beforehand, but yeah, in Echanami, there's always something to a Bas Paro. There's obviously a Kedusha there that Shlomo Melech saw.
The thing is though, this is the first, different thing.
I always see anything like this.
The first wife of Shlomo that's mentioned?
That we have mentioned anything, yeah. We know about Nama Amonis, it's possible, but I highly doubtful. Because before... I'll tell you why. Shlomo Melech was 52 when he died. Rechavam was 41 when he became king. That means he had Rechavam when he was 11, which was before he became king. I know that it's hard to understand that he had a kid when he was 11, but that would be that there must have been... Nama Amonis must have already been married to him before this it all happened. So that's what it seems over here.
Do you have to be married to be a king?
Yeah. Oh, you have to be married to be a king. You know, I don't know that. I don't think it says that.
I feel like, I don't know.
You need 18 wives, so you know, you can have up to 18 wives, so you'd assume that you are, but yeah.
I feel like you would have to be. I don't think they would have such a rule.
Right, is it a mitzvah that's out there? You feel like it happened, but nonetheless, I don't think you have to. Athaliah was a queen.
Wife?
I'm sorry?
Was she like his main wife?
No.
Remembering all these things like about like...
There's a famous medrash about the night that he married Bas Paro, right? They say it was when the Beis HaMikdash was being built, right? The Beis HaMikdash was going to open up. She covered up the windows with a black sheet to make sure that people thought that there were, you know, that Shlomo HaMelech thought that it was still dark outside, and he overslept 3 hours into the day until Bathsheba came into the bedroom and beat the living garbage out of her son to get down to the Beis HaMikdash and bring the Korban Tamid. So that's what they say. There's a lot of Tuma going on. There's a lot of Kabbalah going on. Rav Wolfson has a famous piece why he thought he should marry Bas Paro specifically. He thought that Kedusha from such a person would be great because she had so much Tuma. Whatever. These are things that are a little bit beyond us. Yeah.
He built her an entire like elaborate
palace eventually.
Also we know where her kever is.
Yeah, Bas Paro. We're going to get to it. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of crazy things over here. Chazal tell us that at the moment when Shlomo Melech married the daughter of Paro, Gabriel stuck a little thing of a stick into the sea, a sand bank formed on top of that, and that became Italy. The great city of Rome was formed from that. Gabriel the Malach. Gabriel the Malach was around there. Nonetheless, good intentions. Hey, it's an unbelievable thing. Since he decided that he was going to marry into the other nation, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at that moment, the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. Why? Because Shlomo Melech cared about Corinthians, therefore, yeah, the Romans. The Romans. That's really what it's supposed to be. Some say that the reason why he married Bathsheba would have been good if he would have waited until after the Beis Mikdash was created, because he did it too early, therefore it was bad. Or some say that his wedding was more joyous than the building of the Beis Mikdash. Therefore it was too much, and that was that. But the fact is, it's the proper priorities, and that's the idea. And what?
There's an opinion that says, like, if everything was fine.
No. There is another answer. He thought, right, that it was the Messianic era already, and that he was Mashiach. And that since he was Mashiach, he was allowed to marry Bathsheba because he thought that it was the time when he was supposed to bring in all the other nations of the world. He was wrong, but he really thought that he was Mashiach.
That's the thing. Why didn't the Mashiach come? Why wasn't the Mashiach?
Because of Bathsheba. He messed up. Had Shlomo Aleph waited a little bit, it's sort of like other missionaries. If you waited a little bit, you would have been able to eat from the fruit. Had Moshe been waited a little bit, he would have gone to Eretz Yisrael. Had Shlomo Aleph waited a little bit, he would have been able to marry Bathsheba correctly. But he went too early. He did it too quickly, thinking that he was ready for it when he wasn't yet ready for it. Regardless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't forgive him for the mistake. It was a mistake. And he had a pure heart, and he did it for the right reasons. He messed up. Pasuk Beis, Rakam Mizapkam Abamos. The people were still shechting on Bamos. He loaned him in a bayis l'shem Hashem ad yom mehem. There was still no Beis HaMikdash until those days, and you see what the problem was. Do you see it? Rock. But even though he had married Bathsheba, there was no Beis HaMikdash, and that was the problem. Pasuk Gimel. They have Shlomo Hashem. Shlomo loved Hashem. Lux Bakukos David Aviv. He went in the ways of the laws of David his father. Rock Bamos, whom is a Beis HaMikdash, but he was shechting on the Bamos, and he was sacrificing on top of the Mizbeach. That's what he was doing over here. Now, there were three things that Shlomo was trying to do over here. There are three ways of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had true emuna on Hashem, true bitachon on Hashem, and true avas Hashem. And all of them were right there. But there was a problem. David HaMelech made sure to sacrifice entirely in Yerushalayim right by the ultimate Bama, which is going to be used in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Shlomo Aleph was not mocked about that, and he sacrificed wherever he could throughout his entire kingdom on temporary altars throughout the kingdom. He didn't want that. He wasn't as great as David HaMelech in that regard, and that was a sin, a chait on Shlomo Aleph's part that he did not make the Beis HaMikdash already, and therefore he was. But that was a problem over here. Aside from that, it looked bad. When you have temporary mizbechos and you have different mizbechos throughout the land, that looks bad. Allowing people to think that maybe he's sacrificing to different avodah zarahs in different lands. You're going avodah zarah over here, avodah zarah over there, avodah zarah over here. Doing it in one place makes sense, but this is the way that idol worship actually was. Some say it actually was idol worship. That his wives were sacrificing on the bamos. They were the ones doing it for other places, and that Shlomo Aleph was not making the makal that he could have possibly done. Either way, that's not supposed to be the best thing in the world. Some say this chapter over here really should have started over here with Paragimel, Pasuk Gimel, and this is a mistake of the Christians that put Pasuk Aleph and Beis over here instead of Parak Beis. There's a lot of questions about how this Parak works. He has a whole big thing over here in Niam Lois about what it was. Pasuk Dalet got the Yelach HaMelech Gibona. The king went to Gibon, these Baruch Shem, to give a Shechita there. Ki HaBama Gedola. That was the Bama Gedola where the Mishkan was. Elef Olos Yalash Shlomo Mizbeach Ahu. He brought up a thousand Korbanos on that day, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech said, would you rather have 1,000 Korbanos of Shlomo Melech or me learning? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, rather have your learning than 1,000 Olos that Shlomo Melech gave. That's the Gemara on Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph. The Givon Nirah Shlomo Shlomo. Now in Givon, on that night, when he asked, should I die? David HaMelech said, let me die early, let Shlomo Melech come around so you can build the Beis HaMikdash and bring 1,000 Olos every day. The Givon Nirah Shlomo Shlomo. In Givon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Shlomo, Bachalom Alayla, in a vision of the night. The king, God said to him, ask, what can I give you? You're given something. For giving those 1,000 olos, for doing everything else right, you are allowed to ask for one request. What do you want? How many people in history have ever been asked by a Kaddish Baruch Hu to get something?
Nope.
It shows you the greatness and the chassidus of Shlomo Melech that he was able to be asked such a question by a Kaddish Baruch Hu.
I don't know. We seem to be putting him down a lot, and all of a sudden Hashem comes in.
Which shows you. Doesn't that show you everything? That shows you that everything that Shlomo Melech did was purely L'shem Shalayim. Even if he was wrong, even if he did a chait, even if he did something that was a little bit off, he had L'shem Shalayim. Why did he delay the Beis HaMikdash? He wanted to make sure the people were ready for it. He wanted to make sure the people were mamish wanting it, that they desired it, that they truly wanted it, not just forcing it on them and say, alright guys, tax everyone, bring in the money, let's go build the Beis HaMikdash. That was his intentions. Nonetheless, he should have done it quicker. So listen to what it says. The Yom HaShlomo, Atos Yisimatecha David Avdi, Chesed Gadol. Chesed Pasuk Bo. Right, you have done with your servant David HaMelech, my father, a great chesed. Yisrael Be'emes with Tzedakah, because he went in front of you with truth and with Tzedakah. Yisrael's labor with a straight heart. Imach. Batishmal is a chassid of God all day. You should keep with him this chassid as well. Batishmal lo bein. Yosheva kisok yom hazeh. You allowed him to have a son that's sitting on the throne on this day. Batishmal Hashem Elokai. Now, Hashem my God. I'm saying, you allowed your servant to be king instead of David my father. Batishmal now katzon. I am a nobody. I'm a young man who knows nothing. Lo eidat seis bavo. I don't know anything at all. Your servant works within your people. Hashem Elokai said that you have chosen Amrav, a tremendous amount of your Shloim and Evelisa Fermirov. There's too many of them out there. I can't even count them. You should allow your servant to have an understanding heart to judge your people, to understand between good and bad. Because who else could judge this heavy nation and all the things over there? Now, some say that Shlomo Melech was given prophecy over there and right there. Okay. Others say this is just a pure and understanding heart, and he allowed Shlomo Melech to have the opportunity to get this right here. Some say this dream was had at the age of 12. Some say this dream was had at the age of 20. It's a big kasha when exactly he had the dream, but it was right around there. It's a big question when exactly he died. Some say he died at the age of 52. Others say he died at the age of 70. There's a lot of questions when exactly Shlomo died. What's up?
Wait, I didn't understand. This is when he obtained prophecy, people say?
Oh. The first time that he ever got nevuah. If it was at 12, for sure it was. For sure it was. Plus, it's good. We don't have that much time, but here we go. So the matter was good in the eyes of Hashem. He asked for wisdom. Now, it wasn't just that Shlomo asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for stuff. I want Wikipedia in my head. I want to have all the wisdom in the world and to be able to understand everything. That's not what he asked for. He asked for wisdom to know the difference between good and evil. He asked for the ability to differentiate between a sin and a mitzvah. He wanted to be able to know the difference, how to judge a case. Not the shot in, I want to know everything. No, he wanted to know what to do in every situation, halakhically, lefi the Torah, what is my etzah, what am I supposed to do? That's what he asked for, the proper type of chokmah. He could have asked for all the chokmah in the world, make me the smartest man alive. And I cut him off and said, whatever, dude. If you want that, I guess I can give it to you. But that's not the greatest thing in the world. It's not to be that. It's to know what the Torah wants from you at all times. To know that sometimes you can be wrong even when it comes to Torah. Shlomo Melech was not necessarily the greatest Talmud Chacham in learning up every pasuk in the Torah. His chokmah was given to him with siyata d'shmaya so that it was a godly wisdom, not an inborn wisdom that he built upon himself that he was able to build up slowly and surely. No, he had everything immediately from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what came to him.
He only asked for that wisdom once a week in Tefillin and the add-on of the Shabbos. We asked for differentiation between good and bad. Don't we? Or am I confused?
I hear what you're asking. I don't have an answer to that question. I don't understand why they wouldn't be included in Chonin Bina Das. I mean, if
I think we only asked for that specific wisdom once.
No, you're asking for Chokmah Bina Das. I mean, you are asking for it, or Chaskil, whatever you want to call Seichel. That would have been included in there. But I hear the question. I don't have an answer for that offhand. But Yom HaLukim Elov, God said to him, Yanesh Rishal Tzad Versa, because you asked for this, is in Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'lo Shal Tzalecha Yomim Rabi, you didn't ask for old age. V'lo Shal Tzalecha Oysher, you didn't ask for riches. V'lo Shal Tzalecha Nefesh Raydach, you didn't ask for your enemies in your hands. But all you asked for was to understand and to do judgment. In other words, to learn the Torah. I will do according to your words. I will give you a heart that is wise and understanding. There will never be a person like you. Your wisdom is going to be different from every other person's wisdom. You won't be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, but you will be greater in a different way. You'll understand things differently from every other person in the world. Even the things that you didn't ask for, I will give you. I will give you riches, I'll give you honor. There will never be a person like you among the kings, ever. If you go in my ways, you keep my laws, you keep my mitzvahs, like David HaMelech went, like David HaMelech, your father went by me, then I will lengthen your days even further. The longer you act in my ways, then the longer your days will be. But if you start acting in a bad way, if you start going against me, start doing something else, then you're going to be punished and you're going to die at an earlier age. And that's the idea behind it. That's the idea of what he was supposed to be. We're going to have to go to a parable. I think we're going to stop right here. We're going to stop with the parable. We're going to have to talk about a lot. There's about 8 pages over here in the Miam Lois that we have a lot of stuff over here to talk about. So, Belina, let's start with this. We'll go in the parable next time on page 97, and we'll go from there over there. So, we'll stop.